In this episode, Jake and I sit down and we talk a lot about the noise, what to do, what not to do. We empathize with you, the viewer, the listener, what you're exposed to when you're initially exposed to the infinite banking concept. And our encouragement is to power through, get to the original works, spend some time there. It'll be time well spent, money well spent, and it'll serve you and your family very well. The proper education, the proper works, the proper foundation, and then you can go conquer the world. Welcome to the Banking Life Podcast. I'm your host, James Nethery.
And I am Jake Nethery, your co-host.
And I'm glad you're here today, sir. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I think we did Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It's almost Christmas time now, so.
Yeah. Go up by the time this is released and people are listening to it, it should be after Christmas, right? Hence the New Year's episode.
Yeah.
And what about that Christmas card, right?
We got a lot of great feedback on it. A lot of people loved it.
I loved it.
Christmas Carol, if you didn't get the reference, like you Scrooge. Like,
there's verbiage out of the Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
You know, God bless us one and all.
Yeah. A lot of people got it. There was a couple people that were like, that's really cute. And I was like, it was Christmas Carol. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, it makes more sense, huh?
Yeah.
I've had some pretty good conversations. And you know, and then there's a, what do you call that? That you take a picture?
The QR code?
Yeah, QR code on there. You can see some of the behind-the-scenes stuff if you haven't done that. But in addition to all that, there's about 4 or 5 carrots. What do you call them?
Easter eggs.
Easter eggs in there. Some nuances in there that... I don't think most people, I didn't get a couple of them. You know, the AV guys had to tell me, oh, well, there's this and that too. And I'm like, oh, this is really good. It'll be a tough one to beat.
I love it.
You know, when we do it. But we have fun when we do them. I hope you received one. If you're our client, you should have received one. If you're not our client, you have an opportunity. But I think we'll post it. This should have by now been posted on Facebook or what have you. So anybody can go see it.
I think our Christmas cards are good enough that that's enough a reason to become a client.
There you go. All right, so we had some pretty spicy conversations. We always have spicy conversations, but we had a little spicy combo before we really got going here.
Yeah.
And it was really, I don't know how, I mean, it's just a conversation about what we experience on a day-to-day basis and weekly basis. And you want to get back into that conversation or touch on some of it?
Yeah, I mean, what we were talking about, and so we have conversations every day, right? You and I, we have conversations every day. But, you know, sometimes we, how do you say it? We have frustrating things that we run into. We have situations, we have conversations that we have either with potential clients or we have in general with other agents or, you know, certain home office people from different companies. Yeah, it's all love. But at the end of the day, what our clients run into a lot is the noise, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's a ton of it out there. It's like, how do I know who to trust? Like they're saying this and it contradicts what you're saying. It contradicts what James says, contradicts what Ryan Griggs says. It contradicts what a lot of people at NNI say.
I bet it contradicts what Nelson Nash wrote about too, and becoming your own banker and building your house well.
Absolutely.
How privatized banking really works. Oh, I don't know how to buy whole life, a framework for IBC. You know, it's like, the material is there is all I'm making. The material is there.
Absolutely. So. And they jump square over. And the reason for that at the end of the day is, let's be honest, you guys love illustrations. Everyone loves illustrations. They love seeing numbers on pages, and bigger, the better for a lot of people. Yeah. It doesn't matter how realistic it is. It doesn't matter like what's actually going to happen because illustrations are not actual performance of a policy. In-force illustrations and like the current date, like cash values, loan amount availables, those are real numbers. That is actually what your policy is. But even the in-force illustrations are just showing a snapshot or a glimpse of what the future can be.
Based on the current dividend scale, which changes annually, it can go up or down, it's a non-guaranteed component of the policy. But it's like if it's an in-force, right? I've had the policy for some time. If it's within a year, you don't need an in-force illustration, really. I don't care whoever you are. If you paid the illustrated premium on that illustration, right?
Yeah.
There may be some movement in there. There may not, depending on the structure. But if you're in the first year, and most of the time, if you're even in the second year and you paid that second year premium, you really don't need an in-force illustration because and the reason I say that, if you want one, you can go get one. You can request it, right? But it's not going to change, right? Unless you maybe have an outstanding loan. then that might affect second year dividend if you have direct recognition. I mean, these are all minutia things.
Yeah. Follow that out, actually. Two,
you don't really need an in-force because your original illustration is there's not going to be any difference.
Yeah, and you kind of half said it. You said direct recognition, like absolutely. Say what it is. Like our clients, we don't do business any direct recognition companies or companies that have direct recognition policies. I don't know of any. Okay, there is one, but we don't use them very often.
Yeah, there's.
There, we don't use them very often, and
but we could if we wanted to to this point. You know, I mean, I think my first five policies were with a direct recognition company, but
they don't make any sense now.
Yeah,
like it used to be like they were, you know, so we had variable and fixed rates. Fixed rates were, you know, known with direct recognition, and variable rates were known with non-direct recognition. Now that's all gone out the window. It's all variable rates now. It's all variable rates. I'm sure there may be one company that has it. I don't know.
There's a couple that give you a choice whether, you know, you want to take a loan now on the newer series. Right? Yeah. If you already have one, you know, it is what it is. But some of the newer in the last few years, some of these companies have come out and said, well, you can choose at the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, when you initially request a loan from the life insurance company because you are not taking money out of your policy. You're not putting money in and taking money out. You're paying a premium to the life insurance company. They're issuing you a life insurance contract. And because you're the owner of that life insurance contract, you have some guaranteed rights that are codified in the contract. One of them is a loan provision. So when you borrow money, you're borrowing money from the life insurance company. It's not coming out of your policy. I just want to be clear on that because that is such an early, you know, when Nelson printed the book in 2000. Mm-hmm. It's like there was such confusion, and it seems like there's still some. It's like, oh, you're not borrowing your own money. You're not taking money out of the policy. And then you have other, you know, experts in the field that say that's really prevalent, that the agents and advisors are promoting all that, which maybe, I doubt it, but all the work that's been done, mm-hmm. all the noise that's been released and still exists, I'm sure people initially think that, oh, like, yeah, if I borrow against this policy, it's going to make it perform better, do better. I know I'm digressing and taking a side note, but
yeah. Look, at the end of the day, like, things have changed with policies from 20 years ago, much less 5 years ago.
Yeah, so, they change every couple of years, right?
I mean, absolutely. So, like, 20 years ago, I don't, at least I wasn't doing this, but even 10 years ago when I first started.
You mean you wasn't doing this in middle school?
I wasn't doing this in middle school. I would have been 13 at the time.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah. And I know I'm interrupting you. You know, I appreciate your patience and grace. But I was talking to a client the other day, and he's like, James, it seems like all these young people have been in the industry for 20 plus years. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I get it. That's the only reason why I say it.
And really what they're trying to say, because look, they're trying to drum up business, and they're trying not to seem so new, because if they said, hey, I've only been licensed a year or two, you're not going to want to do business with them. So what they're trying to say is, like, my GA, you know, the person ahead of me, or, you know, the person, you know, who has my contract or whatever, my mentor, they have 20 years of experience. So, like, our office has 20 years of experience. Like, our office has over 100 years of experience.
Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to say.
But yeah, it's like, no, they don't.
I'm 27, and I've done this for 20 years.
Yeah, right. Which is,
God bless you. That's perfect, yeah. Man. You got a savant, right? Perfect. Okay.
Yeah, he was selling life insurance when he was 7.
Yeah, couldn't sign a contract, but, you know.
God bless, God bless.
Okay, I'm throwing you off, so.
No, you're good, because at the end of the day, I mean, that is the frustrating things. You know, our clients keep hearing a bunch of noise. They keep hearing, you know, they keep hearing from what I call the 39ers, page 39 in Nelson's book, you know, he talks about, like, how not to build a policy.
Oh,
he
goes over. I'm going to, the 39, I like that, sir.
Yeah, page 39, it's just, you know, the IUL, the UL, VUL, 1 year renewable term, all that stuff's mentioned there. He talks about how not to build policies.
I'm just grabbing the book because I want to say that. You know, yeah, page 39 at UL's. And I mean, how much more work really needs to be done on that? Not much, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at page 39, please just look left. I mean, I've got the fifth edition. It's printed. You know, I'm not talking about online or the audio book that does their paragraphs don't go with the sections, or their chapters don't go with the sections. I'm talking about the printed book. page 39, the 39ers. Yeah. I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
Just look left while you're there, because he tells you how to get it done. And I'm not saying you have to do exactly that, but he gives you the fundamentals right there of how to do it. Okay.
Yeah. So, if people are wondering like how to build policies, like Nelson has a bunch of like policy illustrations in there that show you like how like you can build policies. So when you, anyways, when you see people doing all sorts of what my dad calls, you know, I don't know if I even should say bastardizations, but that's, I mean, that's what they are.
This man's work has been bastardized more times than the Bible.
Yeah, I agree. Like it, and yeah, it's really sad because I get it. People are, they want to make money. They have families of their own. But here's the thing, the clients, you guys are real people. We are keenly aware of that. And we want to serve you. Like that's like, we don't exist without you guys. So at the end of the day, like we want to do what's right by you. And I think sometimes when it comes to the financial world, like especially if you come from like a corporate setting or something like that, it often becomes about, you know, hitting a quota, hitting a certain target amount or a target date or whatever it happens to be, and you lose the human.
It's like you go off into production because it's a financial world. You got to have so many policies or so much premium or whatever.
I'm struggling selling it the right way. So like maybe I can, you know, use UL to have, you know, higher illustration numbers, and then I can share that and then people will buy it.
Ooh.
And it's like, and I get it. Like you're desperate. Like you're struggling for money. But like, don't take money from other people or put people in harm's way because like you're struggling. Like, go find another business to be in. Like, you don't have to be in the life insurance business. It's okay.
My mini me.
It's okay though.
Stop.
It's okay. It's like there's other businesses you can make money in. Like, you don't have to. And we get it. UL pays higher commissions. UL all. Yeah, we get it. Like it's, but Nelson says on page 39 that it is incompatible with the infinite banking concept. So stop. Stop 39ers. It's not needed.
So these 39ers, are they people that are like licensed or advisors, agents?
Generally? Yeah, they don't have to be. There are some prominent ones that aren't licensed agents or anything like that. They're more talking heads, like personalities, like kind of doing what we do. They show up on camera and they talk about IBC. They can spell IBC at least, words.
You know, be clear here. The reason I show up on the camera, you know, this is in the middle of the week. Normally record on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. It's holidays. There's a compression in the calendar. But I show up because I want to promote the idea that you, mm-hmm. the listener, the viewer, can become your own banker. And you have an opportunity to even learn what that could mean for you and your family. And I think when you discover that with an open mind, if you'll look with an open mind, you know, and maybe it's right for you, maybe it's not, but if it is and you discover what actually is going on with life insurance, properly designed with the proper company, and I know those are broad terms, but properly designed that fits, customized to you. You know, yeah. It's like go buy a suit. You can get one off the shelf, you can get a bespoke suit, or you can get the handcrafted, customized, right? There's different levels. And in the suit analogy, you know, you're going to pay a lower cost, you know, for the off-the-rack jacket all the way up to, you know, the customized. So I get there's a cost there. But I assure you, you're going to pay the price for your education. So if you go for the off the, you know, one size fits all in my example,
yeah.
You know, of a policy, well, they say this and it's whoever they are and mm-hmm. it's right for everyone. That should be an immediate red flag. I don't want anything I own to look like everything that you own. You know,
not
that
at
doesn't
all.
Even make sense to me. I don't even know how that's attractive.
Yeah.
But then, you know, and then they bring up commissions. Well, they do this for commissions or they do that for not commissions. And it's like, that's a whole joke.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, let me break this down for you. In the life insurance industry, commissions are paid. That's how the agent, the advisor is remunerated. That's it.
Yeah.
It's built into the product. Do you pay for it? Yes, you pay for everything. The consumer always pays for everything. But just because some agent says, I only get paid this, he's leaving out every level above him.
Yeah.
you know, the manager, the office manager, the regional vice president. You know, it's like everybody else, all these life insurance companies pay the same commission. They just don't pay it to him.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not producing enough. Maybe the business isn't. I don't know. My point is, that's such a weak argument, but commission is almost a trigger word.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he gets paid commissions. Well, pray tell, do you want your real estate agent working for free? Do you want your physician or whomever, whatever? Do you want your plumber? You want your electrician working for free or the least amount possible? That doesn't even make sense to me either. Now, that's, of course, nobody wants to overpay for anything.
Yeah.
Of course not.
For sure.
Okay. I can't.
No, you're 100% right, man.
All right, the 39.
Like, do you want a large jacket? Do you want a medium-sized jacket? Do you want a small size? Or do you want one that fits you? It's like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, you want one that fits you, man. Go to a tailor who can customize it, who can look at like your sizes, your measurements, and get it right.
Or look, I can go online and you know, I can order shirts from Bangkok, right?
Yeah.
Put in my measurements. They're going to tell me how to measure. And I've seen videos on YouTube of construction in China. I seen one not too long ago, like last week or so, a huge construction site. And there's, you know, three or four workers, contractors, whoever they are, three or four, there were five or six, and they all had measuring tapes, and they put the measuring tapes together, each one of them holding their own measuring tape, and the measurements were totally wrong. Not a single one of them matched. Now, of course, that could have been a setup for, you know, the video. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't shocked to see that. You go to China, none of the measuring tapes match.
Yeah.
What a shock of a shock. So my point here is, you know, to your point as well, it's like, yeah, I can go online. I can put my measurements in there. And, you know, and they can send me three shirts for $100 or whatever it is, plus the tariffs, whatever. It's like totally different. And I didn't have to talk to anyone. Didn't have to talk to a single person. Mm-hmm. You know, like I prefer talking to people. I'm an old school guy, you know, so I can go do that. Get three nice shirts, French cuff or button down, split collar, whatever, customize, right? The material, I get my selection of material, have them shipped to me, or I can go pay, you know, $75 a shirt and get one actually custom to me. Now, okay, if the three shirts that I ordered at $100 from overseas, waited 6 weeks, didn't have to talk to anybody, just send them my measurements, you know, if they came out perfectly, I might do that again. Not once has that ever happened for me. And I know I'm fat and out of shape and all that, but I'm like the average American, you know? Anyway, I digress.
Yeah. Look, I guess, I mean, kind of to wrap this point up and to get into this, like, how do you spot the noise? Because I think where a lot of clients, people in general, they struggle. How do you spot the noise? How do you, you know, see exactly what's going wrong in the world? Like, like you hear what I'm saying, and I get it. There's a lot of people who trust us, and I appreciate, thank you. I'm glad that we've earned your trust. Like we fight every day to earn it, and we won't abuse it. And like, I had a client like yesterday, like, these guys are saying this, and they say that, you know, they're affiliated with you. They say, you know, this guy, you know, trained you and, you know, was, you know, one of the guys who's instrumental.
Somebody talking to Nelson?
Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh.
But like, you know, these people, you know, they do the same thing you do, but then they're saying that they do it differently. Like, how do I know which one's right, which one's wrong? Because, you know, everything they say is, we agree with these people. They're great. You can't go better. You can't do better than, you know, Jake and James.
But,
you know, think about doing it this way. And it's just all wrong, right? It was all wrong. But it's like, he's like, how am I able to know what's right and wrong?
I'm, that's
like,
a legitimate question.
Go to Nelson's book. And, you know, I said, you know, go to Nelson's book. Make sure, you know, you keep reading, you know, Nelson, what he's done. He has multiple books. You should read them all. Ryan's book is a great one to read for that. But how would you, like, if I'm saying, James, I'm struggling right now because I'm watching a bunch of videos. There's a million videos from, you guys all know the popular ones. We know them too.
Most of the time, they're the ones that are promoted. You know, it's like for the sake of time, because my schedule is compressed.
Yeah.
They're working me like a Hebrew without straw. I know that you've heard that before. And I know many of you can sympathize with me. You know, I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. So let me be very clear and very direct on that. In my humble opinion, my experience, you know, I've done 34 years, coming on 35. I know I'm not that old. I'm still a little boy inside. I met Nelson Nash 2004. I was wrong. I said 2005 on an interview I did with David Stearns at the Infinite Banking Initiative. And I had just looked at my notes. Well, I went before I got on that podcast. Well, I went back and looked at my notes and I was not going to the first notes. So anyway, so that's 21 years.
Yeah.
Right. And so Nelson and I wasn't really close for the first couple of years. From about 2005 on, we became closer and closer until he graduated. And here's very directly what I would say. In 14 years in the life insurance business, right? So I was in the same position. It's like, what? This is totally different than anything I've ever heard from the life insurance industry. Why didn't they teach me? Why didn't anyone tell me this? Why did I have to read a random book? You know, it wasn't random. I mean, I was at an event. My story's out there. A 92-page book. 14 years in the life insurance business, this is a total paradigm shift. You know, so, I mean, I struggled early on. I was looking over my shoulder for the first 4 years paying premiums to these companies, which was initially a direct recognition company that doesn't even pay a dividend, in my humble opinion. They know exactly who they are, and they know exactly why I don't write much business with them. And they, but to be true, you know, I still pay those premiums.
Yeah.
You know, to this day, I pay those premiums. And had I known what I know now, it would have been different. But if things were different, they would be different. If I was going back in time in the same situation, Nelson's not available. I can't call his number. He's not going to answer the phone. You know, I'm going to buy the book and I'm going to read the book. Then I search for mentors. And that individual that was referenced, and the only individual in the big wide world who's ever tried to take credit for training me, right? And not just in the insurance business, but or in the Infinite Banking footprint. It's like, no, I default to my father, who's been gone some time. Everybody can teach you something. Mm-hmm. You can learn from everyone. Some will teach you what to do, and others will teach you what not to do. So if I'm just now newly exposed to this idea, it would be becoming your own banker. I would turn off the noise, all of it. I would read Nelson's book in solitude, maybe even more than one time, without getting hung up on the illustrations. I'm not saying skip over them. I'm saying don't get hung up on them. Read it thoroughly a time or two. All right. Listen to it if you have to on Audible. I mean, I think you're shortchanging yourself if you won't read it, right? Okay. And then get back to the illustrations if you must. And by all means, you know, your numbers are important. I totally respect that, totally understand that. And then it would be the second book, How Privatized Banking Really Works, Nelson's second book, Building Your Warehouse of Wealth, Ryan Griggs's book, How to Buy Whole Life, a framework for the infinite banking concept, the DVD, Banking with Life DVD. And then once you're somewhat comfortable, and even if you're going through them and, you know, you're making notes on the side, maybe you reach out to someone who you've already vetted to some extent with their media, whether it's written, video, or what have you. And I would encourage you to go to bankingwithlife.com or whatever our channel is on YouTube, James Nethery, and go to the Q&As. There's over 50 of them. A lot of the questions are answered several times in different ways. And then we have shorts. We have tons of shorts. And then we have a relatively new topical series. Talks about dividends, talks about long-range thinking, loans, duration. How long should I pay a premium? You know, should I pay 4 years and move on and buy another policy? Why shouldn't I use a blended PUA? Or when should I use a blended PUA? What am I giving up when I do this or when I do that? Because everything in here is a trade-off, right? So that's pretty direct. Becoming Your Own Banker, How Privatized Banking Really Works, Bob Murphy and
Carlos
Lara, Nelson's second book, Building a Warehouse of Wealth, Ryan Griggs's book, How to Buy a Whole Life, a framework for the infinite banking concept, and then the Banking with Life DVD. And I don't have my book out yet. I know I'm talking about it and it's carried out there, but it'll come. You know, God willing and I'm able. He's willing and I'm currently able. And then those shorts.
Yeah. And then call our office. Because, like, one of the things Nelson says is, like, when should you get started? Not yesterday. It's today. today. You can't start yesterday. Yeah. You got to start today.
You know,
and it's not 6 months into the future or when you feel like you've mastered this, because you're not going to. You don't do this every day. You can watch a bunch of videos, but that's the thing. Like, there's so much conflicting information out there. You're not going to master it. You, the individual, like, are not going to master this.
You know, so, to me, you know, I got to say this, and I got to go.
Yeah.
The idea, Nelson talks about the need of a coach.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that maybe old terminology now, and everybody's an online coach or whatever, but it is okay. It's really required, in my humble opinion. You know, it's just like new agents, advisors. They really could benefit from a mentor.
Yeah.
You know, the newly initiated, early discovery, early learning, and even continuing, you know, because life can be complex as well, as, you know, right, as well as I. But a good coach. And then just go online and vet the coach. If there's all conflicting interest or information and interest, you know, how far away are they from these works that you spent time on? And if they're way out there, if they're not in line with these things, it's not the infinite banking concept. You know, somebody's slinging life insurance and somebody's buying life insurance, and it's almost like a gimmick. Hmm. And I don't look, this is New Year's. I want to be very positive, because we have a lot of clients that have done the vetting and that are highly intelligent. You know, and it's like, oh, I can see what's going on. And I hope we attract more of those than the others, mm-hmm. because they're a joy of joys to work with.
Yeah.
And through the years, you know, and it's like, my gosh, when they're 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years old. And you know, I talk to clients every day. I talk to prospective clients every day. You know, when you have, I mean, smart people, right, with very respectable cash flows. They say, James, this is the greatest thing I've ever done, you know, and it's done this or this. As well as, you know, man, I got a curveball. Mm-hmm. You know, out of this didn't go or that didn't go as expected. Something's happened. What do I do? That's where the structure becomes important. When there's a problem, that's where the structure can absolutely make a difference. Anyway, man, I want to keep going, but I have to go. So
yeah, you're good. That was awesome.
I mean, I want to be more positive. Look, it's a great year. There's lots of changes in our office. There's changes coming, you know. Markets are at an all-time high. It's like, this is an exciting time, in my humble opinion, to be active and get control of your cash flows and stop being the slave to debt, third-party lenders, New York, Wall Street. It's like...
And the banks.
The amount of control that you can have will absolutely does have the power to change your life. Okay, thank you for listening. Sorry that I feel like I just ranted, you know?
It's okay.
All right, we'll do another one. All right, Happy New Year.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.